Thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and Coordinator and Host for SPIRIT. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors. Everybody who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, SPIRIT continues to be a safe and ideal way for everyone to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today's program is called Actively Engaging Women at the Orthodox Union, from Women's Branch to Women's Initiative. We are so happy to welcome Mrs. Nancy Klein, past president of Women's Branch and a SPIRIT participant, and Rebbetzin Dr. Adina Schmidman, founding director of the Women's Initiative. Their very impressive bios are in the emails you received and on the SPIRIT website. I am so pleased and honored to turn the SPIRIT Forum over to Rebbetzin Dr. Adina Schmidman and Mrs. Nancy Klein. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you so much, Judy, for the warm introduction. I'm honored to be here with Mrs. Nancy Klein, a dear friend who I've met in the course of my time at the Orthodox Union. It's very exciting to be here. And thank you to Judy, who dedicates so much energy, passion, and excitement for the SPIRIT program and all the things that she does. She's a colleague and a friend at the OU. So before I start, Nancy, do you want to just say hello and then we'll get started?
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here and looking forward to talking about our Women's Branch.
Wonderful. So what's exciting for me is to be able to spend time with Nancy. It's always a treat. And when Judy reached out to me about today's program, I recall the first time that we met, and I want to share that because I think that it will help to inform the program that we have here today. The first time I met Nancy, I got a phone call from Arnold Gerson, who at the time was the head of institutional advancement at the OU. He said, there's a woman who's coming in today who would like to give a check to the OU. Well, obviously, if someone wants to give a check, that sounds good to me. I'm all ears and all on board. I think that you would enjoy meeting her. It was fortuitous that I was in the office that day, and I walked over to the small little conference room and met Nancy. Nancy, and maybe Nancy, you'll share your version of the story, but the version that I recall is that you were closing out the last bank account for Women's Branch, and you were at the OU to hand in this last check. And the comment that really hit me was that you said, this is the nail in the coffin. And my response to you was, no, this is the baton that you're handing and passing along to us. We're here now with trying to address the issues and the concerns and the needs of women in this century. And we are learning from you and from the energy and the passion that the women had all the way back from 1923. Nancy noted to me on Friday that it's actually going to be 100 years since Women's Branch started. And there's so much for us to learn and to gain from recognizing the visionaries that started Women's Branch, and to hear today, the time that we'll spend together, we'll get to hear about that and also about Nancy's involvement. And I think hopefully what we'll walk away with from the time that we spend together is to appreciate the commitment and the dedication of women all through time, particularly in the 20th century and now in the 21st century, who are so committed to assure and ensure the continuity of our people. So I'm really, really excited, Nancy, to continue. That baton keeps being passed. And so I'm so excited that we're here together. So I wanted to begin by starting. Can you tell the women who are here today, and maybe there are some men as well, and it's probably for many of the people in the Zoom or in the room, the term women's branch is very familiar, but can you give us a little bit of the history of women's branch?
I'm glad you asked that question, because that was the first thing I wanted to get across. We say women's branch, and not everybody knows what that is or was. It was the National Organization of Sisterhoods of Orthodox Congregations around the United States and Canada. And in our heyday, we had about 500 sisterhoods.
Wow.
And it was started, as Dina mentioned, in 1923 by a group of seven women in New York, one of whom was my grandmother, who decided that there a lot of things needed to be done, and there was strength in unity. So if they could get a whole bunch of sisterhoods together, they would be able to accomplish something. My grandmother was one of them. That was Julie Hirsch Klein. She was the granddaughter of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch and the wife of Rabbi Philip Klein, who was the rabbi of Congregation of Obsedic in New York. Providentially, one of the other women was Mrs. Herbert S. Goldstein. You'll notice that back then, everybody was known by their husband's names. Nobody had a first name. And Rabbi Goldstein just happened to be president of the Orthodox Union at that time, or as it was called, the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations of America. I'm glad they shortened it up. So they reached out to sisterhoods gradually all over the country. And one of their very first projects, which was very dear to them and very important to them, was the sad state of kashrus. And they were the ones who persuaded the Orthodox Union to supervise manufactured products, food products. And they provided the funding for the initial reaching out to manufacturers and studying their ingredients and ensuring the kashrus. So the rest is history on that front, but that was just the beginning.
I think that's amazing. I think we need to get the word out that this was started by women.
We did it.
And if you look at the reach of the OU products today, it's around the world. I think the OU supervises over 1 million products, some of them food, some of them are ingredients to make other foods. Basically, you can't eat something without it being touched by the OU. And the OU kashrus is such a backbone of the organization. In fact, I'll just share an anecdote. When we lived in Birmingham, Alabama for 9 years. And when we came down to Birmingham, the first time, I said to my husband, we're not moving here unless we go to a supermarket. And when I picked up the Heinz ketchup and saw that OU, I got overwhelmed, because I felt like there was a friend. There was somebody there looking out for us in Birmingham, Alabama, and we could make a go of it. So really the reach of the OU and OU kashrus is remarkable, really remarkable. So it sounds like the women, that women's branch is in your genes.
Oh, yes. and my mother then later on joined and served 2 terms as president. And so, yeah, I had no choice.
So what did you see growing up? Like, what was it always women's branch all the time? How did that impact your childhood?
As a young child, my brother and I were recruited to kind of be the office staff for women's branch, because we didn't have an office. It was our dining room table. So I literally grew up with it. And when I was first married and a young mother, I became the assistant treasurer, because that was something I could do from home, and eventually joined the board and got involved in all the different projects, which over the years were really very impressive.
Can you describe them? What was Women's Branch up to once they started Kashrus Rolling?
Well, one of their main objectives was always education, which was a very broad topic, meaning they helped raise over $200,000 for the early Yeshiva College dorm on the Lower East Side when they discovered that the boys were living in terrible conditions. And they bought sheets and towels and beds and everything that was needed. And then when Yeshiva College opened its building, which later became a campus in Washington Heights, they raised $40,000 to equip the dorm there. They, in 1928, they helped found the Hebrew Teachers Training School for Girls, which was quite revolutionary at the time. The idea was to train women to teach in the Talmud Torahs all over the country. And they that lasted basically until Stern College opened and kind of took over that project. But they provided hundreds of well-trained teachers for Talmud Torahs. And coming back to who was Women's Branch, most sisterhoods existed to help the shul and to fund the Talmud Torah. That's one of the reasons that Women's Branch eventually disappeared, because with the advent of day schools and yeshivas, there were very few Talmud Torahs, and there was no need for that particular major project anymore.
I think it's interesting. First of all, my grandmother went to that teacher training program, and interestingly, would take the train out to Great Neck, Long Island, to teach in the Talmud Torah there. And at the time, said to herself, "This is where I want to live, like when I grow up." Fast forward, my grandparents were Rabbi and Rebbetzin, first in Malden, Massachusetts, then Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and then came to Great Neck. And they lived in Great Neck from 1956 until my grandmother passed away in 2014. So they were, this teacher training program had such an impact on, I would say, my family's trajectory, and I'm sure the people who my grandmother touched and reached. And she was just one of so many students. In fact, I think my husband's aunt was a student. So the idea of not only supporting the Talmud Torahs on the ground through the works of the sisterhood, but assuring that the Talmud Torahs were well provided for is innovative and really quite remarkable.
Quite a struggle to keep the school going, even though in the beginning, the annual budget was $4,000 a year.
So, you know what, but it's interesting, $4,000, and yet you said that they raised $200,000 for the Yeshiva University dormitory. So look at the capacity to fundraise and to assure that institutions were in fact happening, whatever the budget was. And I'm sure $200,000 in those days is a lot of money in today's money. So I really, all the things that you're saying are so absolutely impressive. Is there a particular memory of your mother that comes to mind in terms of Women's Branch?
Interestingly, the first in terms of Women's Branch, two things come to mind. One was that she traveled all over the country and in Canada speaking for Women's Branch. And that was mostly before air travel. She took trains and buses and traveled literally all over the country. And I remember asking her, "What do you talk about?" And she said, "Judaism," which was kind of a large topic. But one particular incident, which I had told you about before, the World's Fair took place in New York in 1939, 1940. And in 1940, the Women's Branch was asked to participate along with other national women's organizations in a day of Jewish celebration. And Women's Branch had to set up a table about Sukkos. And this was like in July or August, and where are you going to get a loaf of an esrog in the summer? So my father leaped in. He had last year's lulav, which he dyed a beautiful shade of green, and found a very large lemon, which could pass for an esrog. And our hedges served as hadassim, and that left, where are you going to find a rovos? And my mother recalled that all over the fairgrounds, there were weeping willow trees. So she asked one of the gardeners if she could have a little branch of willow. And he could not understand why he shouldn't cut down like a whole tree for her. We just need a few little twigs. And Macy's department store came through with lending beautiful china and crystal and silverware and linens. And I do recall it was a beautiful table and received a lot of publicity. So that was kind of a shining moment for Women's Branch.
It's remarkable to me to hear that story. Aside from, I love it. I was reading, you sent me the history and I was chuckling last night. My husband said, "What's so funny?" And I was reading him exactly what you just shared. It's just the idea of painting the lulav and making it green was just brought a smile to my face. But what also resonated for me about the story was to hear how well networked the Women's Branch organization was with the other women's organizations and along with Macy's. These are you know, big names and suggesting that it was not just this isolated little tucked in the corner organization, but that Women's Branch was a player. You also had shared with me in this wonderful rich document about how it was involved in the United Nations, the term that you sent me. Let's see if I get it right. It was, yeah, here, an accredited non-governmental representative to the United Nations. That's really impressive, really impressive. So, you know, I think to hear how well positioned the organization was, and for its time, it's very inspirational. Can you describe what role did Women's Branch play during the war years?
That was a very busy time for all organizations, I guess. There was one story that which I was told, I wish I remembered it. The 2 days before Pesach, Women's Branch was asked to set up Siddurim for 900 servicemen. And two of the leaders, Mrs. Isidore Friedman and again, Mrs. Herbert S. Goldstein, somehow gathered together kosher food and a caterer. And interestingly, the Siddurim took place in Patchogue, Long Island. Who knew about Patchogue back then? All during the war and for many years after, Women's Branch participated in providing Pesach food for servicemen all over the world. Later on, also it was kind of war effort I think the 67 war in Israel. We sent out requests for women to knit hats for the Israeli soldiers, and we got hundreds of hats, which were sent to Israel. But coming back to World War II, there were a number of organizations set up to help refugees coming from Germany to help soldiers, every kind of aid that was needed. And Women's Branch participated every time there was a call for anything to be done. They were part of, there was a National Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations, I think I've got that title right, that ran the spectrum from reform, secular, conservative, orthodox. And it lasted for a number of years, and we worked together on anything that didn't involve religious problems. It was a wonderful experience to work with impressive women from all over the country, from every branch of Judaism. And we had so much in common, we were able to accomplish a lot.
It's interesting. It makes me think of when we lived in Birmingham. Because the community was so small, there was no denominational lines. Again, to your point, you know, when it came to religious discussion, you sort of stayed away from that because there's enough to do and enough in common that you stuck with that common purpose. And as the community got larger and larger over time, it sounds like this sense of unity, you can be self-sufficient in a way that on some level is a shame because that unity is so powerful and so strong and we have more in common than we don't. But it's just interesting that not standing on party lines or not having the lines that I experienced in Birmingham and you're talking about with the National Jewish Women's Groups, because the Orthodox community is so self-sufficient, on some level there's less of a need for that today. And I think it speaks to the point that you were making in terms of sending packages to servicemen, knitting hats. A lot of these are being taken care of by niche organizations. And so this sense of we need to be here functioning, eight cylinders all the time, because if we don't take care of it, it won't happen. It's not today's reality. So, that's, I guess, on some level for better, because it means that we've obviously grown as a community, but this sense of banding, and hunkering down, there's something very noble and rewarding about that.
Well, of course, that was not the main purpose of Women's Branch. That was kind of a sidelight. The main job was servicing sisterhoods. So we sent out programming for every month of the year from September through June, including opening prayers, president's preface, holiday information. We had a manual for sisterhoods telling them how to organize. We had publications for all the holidays. We had, some people may remember, we published a series of children's books, the Judy and Jeremy books, which were very successful. Looking back at them now, I thought maybe they might be republished, but they are very dated. The times have changed. And we also participated in the Shalom Sesame recordings and that was kind of fun. And we had all kinds of services to help sisterhoods, to help them with fundraising. We gave them information on how to set up a library, how to set up a gift shop. Since education was at our core from the beginning, with the advent of Stern College, we set up a Stern College scholarship fund to which all our sisterhoods contributed. And we gave thousands and thousands of dollars to Stern College. And later on, when Touro started a school for women, we added that. And we gave graduation prizes for Stern and Touro students. So that was always in the forefront. Back at the beginning, they had a collegiate branch of Women's Branch to encourage young women to become involved early on, and hopefully they would kind of graduate into the parent organization. And we always encouraged, from an early start, we cooperated with the Girl Scouts of America in having a special program for Jewish Girl Scouts. So there were constantly new things going on.
I love when you say you sent it out. I just want to take that line and just remark about that, because sent it out to me means email, WhatsApp, text, and sent it out means stuffing envelopes, printing it.
Mimeographing back in the old days.
Right, thank you. Mimeographing it on stencils, right? I assume, right? Dot matrix printers was already, you know, tremendously innovative. And the fact that you got these sisterhoods, their materials in a timely fashion, month after month after month after month, is astonishing. Astonishing.
And we had a wonderful woman who ran the office who did that practically single-handed for many years. And towards the end, when she was no longer with us, thank goodness the actual mailing was taken over by the Orthodox Union office. But it was, yes, a tremendous amount of work to write, to put together, to get it all out. And we also had two different Pesach cookbooks that we printed and sent out. If we had been able to do it by email, maybe I'd still be doing it. I don't know. But yes, it was a tremendous amount of work.
It sounds like that. And typing, the whole thing. And I also want to highlight, this is without answering machines, voicemail, conference calls. How, just logistically, can you walk us through 1 month's, how did it happen? Somebody just put this out and then how did it happen?
Well, when I took it over, I did most of the writing, but earlier on we had Libby Klapperman, Rabbi Gilbert Klapperman's wife, who was such a talented writer. She wrote most of the programs. And then we had somebody in the office who would type them up on the stencils and mimeograph them. And other people would contribute. Every 2 years we had a convention, and part of the convention was offering prizes to people who submitted programs. So we would print the winning programs. And so everything would be mimeographed, collated, stapled, folded, put into envelopes. And eventually we had printed labels, but back in the old days, the envelopes were hand addressed. And sending out to 500 sisterhoods.
Every month.
It was a very big project.
And this was happening monthly.
Yes, September through June.
Wow. Wow. You must have enjoyed your summers and then got energy back to just dive right into the next year.
Eventually we sent them out. We would send them like 2 or 3 months worth at a time. So it was less folding, stamping, licking envelopes. Well, we didn't lick the envelopes, but sealing the envelopes. And then when we had 500 sisterhoods, that meant you had to sort them out for the post office. state by state and make sure that they were in the right bundles and the right numbers and labeled and counted. It was a tremendous undertaking.
And here's I think to me what's very striking. This was all, I'll ask it as a question because I'm really not sure about the answer. This was all done by volunteers?
With the exception of the administrator in the office, yes, all by volunteers.
It's a different, just organizationally, there's a lot of passion and energy when something is grassroots and people feel their own responsibility and their dedication and that their voice and their participation really, really matters. And so I think being able to capture that energy and harness it for something so exceptional speaks to the value and values that this group of women really wanted to transmit in such a dedicated way. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, dedicated, I think, is the key word there. The board was all extremely dedicated people who stepped forward and gave their all.
And the names that you're mentioning, I mean, those are names that resonate in American Jewish Orthodox history. So, you know, you're taking that energy and harnessing it toward a very, very important cause. And thinking about it, look at all the impact of all these sisterhoods all around the country and the people that they touched. It's the reach is exponential. I want to read from this history document that you sent me, the goals or the ideals of the sisterhood. And I think that speaks to the whole mission of Women's Branch: to spread the knowledge necessary for the understanding and practice of Orthodox Judaism throughout the land, to imbue our young people with the spirit of Torah Judaism, blending the traditional with the modern, to unite all Orthodox Jewish women and their respective organizations into one strong, homogeneous group, to organize, affiliate, and service new Orthodox sisterhoods wherever and whenever the need arose, and to arouse the individual Jewess to her outstanding role in her home and the Jewish and civic communities. Those are very lofty ideals, which it sounds like through these monthly meetings and writings and inspirational activities, that these ideals were really made very actionable.
Yes, what's interesting, I think, is how well those ideals have stood up over the years. It's something we can still aspire to today.
Absolutely, absolutely. When I read that, I'm like, yes, 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 I agree, absolutely. They're worded so beautifully, I'm sure, knowing how these things take so much time, probably the words were parsed out and, you know, figured out. And
I can only imagine, yeah.
And, but really, those ideals, I agree, still serve us today. What would you say was a challenge of Women's Branch?
From the beginning or at the end?
You can
have different challenges.
Choose which one.
Well, in the beginning, the challenge was obviously getting everybody on board, getting the idea of a national organization, to get people to join and to support. The timing is interesting because in the 1923 to like 1929 was a more or less prosperous time. And then of course came the Great Depression when everything was 10 times as difficult and it was so hard to raise money and to operate. So in the 1930s and up until World War II, the big challenge was money. It was people didn't have it. it was hard to try to do major projects. course, towards the end, when it was kind of all on my head, the challenge was the changing world. As I mentioned before, the Talmud Torahs sort of disappeared, which meant that the raison d'etre for sisterhoods was kind of disappearing, even though they were still helping out the shul and so on. But a couple of things happened at the same time. The demise of the Talmud Torah, the women joining the workforce and therefore not having a lot of time for something like sisterhood, and women joining the officers and boards of the shul, so that sisterhood wasn't as important as it had been. So all these things came together and sisterhood started either disbanding or changing the way they operated. There are still sisterhoods around, but the old model of a monthly meeting with a little program and some refreshments has kind of gone by the board. Most sisterhoods that do exist don't meet every month, and they mostly exist to do special projects. So while in our heyday, we had 500 sisterhoods, it was gradually going down, down, down. And I felt like Avraham arguing with Hashem was it Sodom? If there are 50 righteous people, if there are 40 righteous people, you know, if there are 40 sisterhoods left, should I still keep doing this? And when we got down to about 30 sisterhoods, I realized that it was an awful lot of work for very, very few people. Most of those 30 sisterhoods consisted of small groups of older women who weren't that active anymore. So I reluctantly decided it was time to say goodbye. And I put together a big notebook with sample programs for every month of the year and sample prayers and fundraising ideas and so on, and mailed them out to the 30 remaining sisterhoods. And for a while we were still selling the Pesach cookbook, but that is, like everything else, totally outdated now. So it was the end of an era. And I think that as you said, Adina, I really shouldn't have regrets. Women's Branch did play a major role in the place of women in the Jewish community, and made a great contribution, starting with kashrus and on through education, that can't be taken away from us.
I completely agree, and I'm glad that I know that you and I have had a number of conversations. I'm glad that that's been meaningful to you, and that it's that point is not lost, because it each time requires a different tactic or a different skill, you know. Not skill, but a different tactic to try to support the women of the time. So I'd love to ask you, what would you want to see from the Women's Initiative? And I'll follow your words with some of the things that we're doing now.
I've been privileged to watch a number of the programs that you have on Zoom. Thank goodness for Zoom. I am just so impressed with the caliber of the young women that participate. They obviously are extremely well educated and very passionate about teaching others. And this is, I feel kind of that the Women's Initiative is kind of the daughter or the granddaughter of Women's Branch. And it's I can't even imagine how far this is going to go, but you are opening up new vistas like every week, and it's it's an exciting time to be a Jewish woman in America.
There's really so much to do, and it's exciting, and I'm excited that you've participated in our programming. I'll share some of the programs that we do. Again, to your point, the seeds were laid, you know, over time, and we're able to see the results of those efforts. So the way I like to conceptualize the department is in three different areas: Torah, leadership, and community engagement. So the area of Torah, we have the Tori Mechanach Yomi program. That's a daily learning program. You can subscribe to it. It's an audio 10 to 15 minute program. We're in the middle of Sefer Melachim Beis. And what's remarkable is that women across the world, again, using technology that didn't exist even 30 years ago, can tap into a joint learning initiative. Really the most, I think the largest Nach classroom that has ever existed, which is just incredible. Women from Australia and South Africa and France and Hong Kong, everybody is learning the same perek of Navi. And when you bump into people and you're in the same spot as others, and you can have an active conversation where mothers can talk to daughters, where grandmas can talk to granddaughters, friends to friends, and it's within this context of Navi, and it's the women who are leading the charge, it's really quite remarkable. The Tari Mecha Parsha program is a weekly program. Again, an email program can also be accessed via the internet. There's also an app that we launched in January, the Tari Mecha app that you can download on your phone, where you can access all these different programs. We have the Rosh Chodesh Lunch and Learn, actually at noon today, but it can, if we're still talking, you can access it later on today on our video page. We have programming for the Chagim, where we want to share that there are so many avenues and so many channels that you can look for inspiration. For Shavuos, we had the opportunity to meet a Shemitah farmer, Alana Toeg. You can check that out on our video page, ou.org/women/video. And listen to Torah scholars like Michal Horowitz talking about Shavuos. There's so many different avenues within the Torah context. And we have the 5-minute Counting Towards Sinai video series that we're wrapping up this week. So all opportunities to learn together, to grow together in many, many different ways. We also have before Rosh Hashanah, the Slichos Night of Inspiration. There's just so many different Torah opportunities. Within the context of leadership, we have lay leadership development. I had the privilege of handing Nancy a plaque at the Lay Leadership Summit in 2019, where we gathered women from across the country and in fact across the world. We had a woman there from London, South Africa, Israel, who all gathered. These were 100 women who are highly involved in their communities. But I will say, Nancy, having run a conference, and we're anticipating a conference in July, focusing on understanding our communities from a mental health perspective for Rebbetzins, Kala teachers, Kiruv and Chinuch professionals, I marvel at the fact that you had a conference every 2 years. And again, without the internet, WhatsApp, texting, conference calls, Zoom. So, wow. We have mikveh attended professional development, Rebbetzin mentoring, all these different spaces that we can afford women who are in leadership positions the opportunity to feel supported, programming development. There are WhatsApp groups, mikveh attended WhatsApp groups, all these different spaces to provide support for women in leadership positions. And finally, community engagement involves connecting with communities. We're supporting 10 initiatives that were proposed to us to jumpstart the shul women's participation post-COVID era. Please God, it should be post-COVID. When you share about your mother traveling by train, I travel by train from Philadelphia to New York. I love it, but all in all, it's 2.5 hours one way, not to minimize, but really it's very doable to travel across the country. I think you mentioned once that she traveled to Vancouver. I'm just in awe of the dedication and the passion. And as I mentioned earlier, we mentioned together, the idea that this was grassroots, that nobody was being paid except for an administrator in the office, and that this was women who were just so absolutely dedicated, the hours, countless hours, that must have been put in to assure that the results of their efforts came to fruition is just absolutely staggering. So I encourage you, the group, to please consider joining our programs. That same energy, that same passion, that same involvement can be brought forward. And we're excited to be able to take the mission forward. And some of you may remember the Virginia Slims commercial, you know, you've come a long way, baby. So there's a lot that's been done, and we're building on those efforts. I'll close with one last point before Judy takes some questions. I shared this with Nancy last week. Again, I hope that you hear how dear Nancy is to me, and also Women's Branch, and the fact that we are building on what was started so many years ago with such love and passion. The OU just moved into a new building at 40 Rector Street. So if you're looking for the OU, or you're looking to send something to the OU, I'm sure it'll get forwarded if you send it to 11 Broadway, but 11 Broadway is no longer. We're now at 40 Rector Street. And in anticipation of the move, the logistics team asked the different departments to submit photos. They were going to put the photos on a decorative wall. So I was walking through the hallway last week and saw that they actually put up this very lovely, lovely display. And I was taking a look at the different pictures from the different departments, and then came to the Women's Initiative Department. And I didn't recall which pictures we had submitted. And I'm standing in front of this display with Shoshana Polakoff, who is the head of the logistics team. And she sees me looking at the wall, and she says, "Look at the, oh, that's such a nice picture of you and that woman." I said, "That woman, I want you to know who that is. That's Nancy Klein." Nancy Klein was the president of Women's Branch. Nancy Klein's grandmother helped start Women's Branch. That's not just a lovely photo op of Adina Schmidman standing next to another woman holding a plaque. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's the perfect display of continuity, of building, of growth, and of partnership. And that to me was so meaningful. And so it is captured in a picture on a wall, but it's certainly my feelings here today. And I'm happy to share it all with you and to be here with you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank both of you for such an amazing presentation. I learned so much. Nancy, I grew up with Jeremy and Judy books. I have them and I read them to my grandchildren. To me, it's a classic. I cannot believe that came from Women's Branch. That is so exciting. And all the other different things that we learned, it's just so inspiration. And of course, Women's Initiative. I live with Women's Initiative between the Nakyomi, which I still have to catch up a little bit on, and all. Adina didn't tell everybody about all the programs because there's just too many. There's the women, there's all the different development ones. I know that I've been part of the speaking program we did last year, which was very, very helpful. And that conference, of course, that you mentioned was really wonderful for everybody. I mean, everybody was just so moved by it. So it's just so exciting to have both of you here together. I don't see any questions, although we'll just wait another minute. I think everybody's probably still digesting. If anything comes to me, I will pass it on to the two of you. But I think this was just, Adina, it was everything I wanted this program to be. Okay. We've been talking about this for a long time.
Correct. Judy and I have been talking for a long time. Judy approached me a while back already. She does such incredible things with the Spirit Program. Can you think of something? You know, I want you to be on. I think it's, you know, come up with something. And I said, Judy, unless it's an infomercial, I'm not sure. I mean, I could give a cheer if you want, but I'm not really sure what you want me to talk about. And then Judy came to me with this idea and I said, fantastic. First of all, an opportunity to spend time with Nancy already off the bat. That's great. But I think it's such an important topic. And I think I would imagine that there are women who are listening to this, participants, who for them, Women's Branch really was something that impacted them. And I'll just make note, I see familiar faces from the neighborhood. So it's wonderful to see women from Lower Marion. So thank you for being here and familiar names on the screen. It is really very, very meaningful. And so when Judy came up with this idea, it was, let's roll.
Oh, interesting. Somebody's asking for the email address for accessing the programs. I assume they mean Women's Initiative. I will put the website into the recording email that everybody receives automatically. So we will thank you for that suggestion. We will put on how you can access those programs. So that will not be a problem. And you should get that email probably hopefully later on today. So I don't see anything else.
Sure. Judy, can I just, if people want to write down, I'll just, because the Rosh Chodesh one is at noon, so should anybody want to jump from here to another Zoom, is it all right if I just, I'll say it? It's pretty easy to remember. It's OU.org, okay, OU.org/women, so my apologies for that, /women, so OU.org/women/video. And so that'll take you right to the video page, and you'll actually find on that page the Shemitah video and the Michal Horowitz Shavuos video, along with a lot of our other content. And there's a lot that we're sharing, and we would love for you to be part of our programming.
Well, I want to thank both of you again. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Next week, Shavuos, we'll be taking a week off, but we'll be returning on June 14th with the Power of Tefillah. With Tamar Nussbaum, and you'll be getting emails on that. So just watch for your emails. So I want to wish everybody a Chodesh Tov, and looking ahead, good Shabbos, and a good Yontif. So, and we'll see you back in 2 weeks. Thank you both so much again for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.